anything.
And is, today you mentioned a couple times about mastery over the body, the complete mastery of the body. And I didn't know where to take that. I don't know if you're talking about sickness or disease or what. Somehow I didn't know where that was going from what I could get.
Well, first of all, it begins with realizing that we have choices about what we do. So when we rest as what's coming up about the body, then we can clearly see what all the points of view are that we have about the body and all the different sidetracks we might take, rather than just relying on awareness to inform our actions. So that's where it begins. And then it, and I'll talk about this more on the chart when I talk about the powers of awareness, the common and supreme powers of awareness. Because the idea we have about the body is grossly limited when we think we're flesh and blood. And only when we become absolutely convinced that we are not the flesh and blood body are there other powers that become available. So we'll talk more about that as the week goes on. It's a very powerful point of view.
This morning when you were doing the commentary, you talked about the end of all harmful activities, and you took that literally, of course, but I'm wondering if you mean basically the most harmful activities, the belief in point of view.
Well, that is an obvious one, definitely. But then, you know, harmful activity to someone who's confident in awareness and harmful activity to someone else might be completely different things. So, for example, one of us might not be engaging in any harmful activity due to the powers of awareness, but there may be other people who think we're engaging in harmful activities. Or they say, oh, well, that harmed me because she said that or he said that or whatever it might be. So it isn't so much in the perception of others or from the perspective of others, but what you know in your own being is being harmful or not. And this is, well, it's really something rarely talked about clearly, because in today's world of quasi-awareness, faux awareness, pseudo-awareness practices, there are all kinds of things going on in the name of awareness that have given awareness a bad rap. And so the experience of overwhelmingly, inconceivably wanting to be of benefit to everyone everywhere with nothing at all standing in the way is what it means to be non-harming. And then, you know, a lot of the shenanigans that go on in the name of awareness wouldn't happen. Because everything that's considered is considered in light of the whole and what will be of benefit to all, rather than just of benefit to oneself or one other person. And this happens spontaneously, you know, it's just, you know, not by sitting down and thinking, oh, should I make this moral decision or that moral decision?
Well, when I think of harmful activities, I think of war and rape and dying of hunger and thirst and that type of thing. How does that fit in?
As I mentioned this morning, within all-encompassing compassion, all of that is included. And in anyone who is fully confident in awareness, these are things that are thought about regularly, like on a daily basis. The needs of people everywhere, and what is really needed by people everywhere, and also the adverse circumstances that people find themselves in everywhere. And therefore, may or may not have the perception of suffering associated with it. Usually, yes, having the perception of suffering associated with it. So it's just it's a completely different way of being. And it comes about through resting this awareness and then just seeing within ourselves how much we've harmed ourselves by believing that points of view have power. And so in this way, just seeing in a very tender, compassionate way with ourselves how much our points of view have caused us pain. And then realizing that that's true for many people, billions of people. So on a daily basis, many, many people are just overwhelmed with their points of view. And so as that compassion awakens for oneself, it also instantaneously awakens for others. And it's just not... There's just no way to live anywhere, any way other than for the benefit of all. And every activity of daily life unfolds in such a way that there's always great sensitivity to what will be of most benefit in any situation. You know, in other words, there aren't any agendas. There is, for example, to show up here, there just aren't any agendas about anything, no planned talks or anything like that. And there's just a great sensitivity to what's going on with everyone beyond what is conceivable to most people. You're just really tuning in to how people are thinking and what their emotional states are and what's really going on with them and really knowing that. And then whatever is said responds directly to that rather than to some kind of pre-planned initiative. And it's clear that within the immensely innovative powers of awareness there is the power to solve the problems of humankind. So these teachings that eschew all of human life are extremes of nihilism that say, oh, it's all a dream, so what does it matter? And it's all a dream, so there's no one suffering anyway, so why bother? This isn't true awareness. True awareness always has this feature of compassion, of incredible compassion. And you see, it's interesting too, because that compassion is what keeps the powers under lock and key. No one has powers unless that compassion is in full bloom. There aren't any powers. So you could say that compassion is the dragon at the gate, unless there really is that kind of compassion that is incredibly sensitive, like I talked about this morning, where when wrong actions are taken, being able to really feel sincerely sorry in the depths of one's being, to just feel sincerely sorry, and then to make amends and direct changes, and also vow that even if one's life depends on it, that will never occur again. That's a lot different than just saying, I'm sorry, and then going ahead and doing it again, whatever it was. What are you laughing about? Have a little bird bake a bird.
The discrepancy between those two attitudes, so to speak.
Oh.
I'll take my life before I do have to do that again. I'm sorry, and then do it again.
Now, when I did grow up as a Catholic, and so as a very young child, I had been taught to examine my conscience. And so what that means is I had to keep track of what my thoughts and emotions were and whether they were right or wrong. And so I was very attuned to that from early in life, to know what was going on. I wasn't in a fog. I knew what was going on, and I also found it unbearable to buy into it. Yeah, so those are just a few. You know, just seeing how unsatisfying most relationships are, but yet people try to make believe that they are satisfying. And just, you know, eschew and overlook all manner of things that are going on based on points of view. And this morning I talked about, this or yesterday, the sexual nature. And, you know, that's a very good example. But it's just that way of everything. Everyone's living in their little secret world for the most part and just walking around and feeling like, you know, they'll be talking to somebody and passing the time of day and be all cheery and conversational and at the same time have all kinds of thoughts and emotions that they're censoring and editing. It just becomes so automatic, like, oh, how are you? And then at the same time thinking, look at the outfit he's wearing. Doesn't he have a mirror? You know? And, oh, great to see you, you know? And then, oh my God, I should be having thoughts like that, you know? So all this is going on simultaneously, and it's just, it's the life of a madman, you know? It's not the life that we're meant to have. And so just seeing all this in myself and others, well, it's just so clear that that we as human beings are cut out for more than that. A lot more. And I knew from my own experience, too, in working with people, that it was possible for people to not only be aware, but to be really good people. Mm-hmm. So the whole issue of character, so to speak, I found missing in many teachings. That people thought they had had some kind of realization of awareness, really hadn't. And there was no wisdom, identity, wisdom, character, wisdom, powers present at all, nor did many people even know that had anything to do with awareness. So you see, it's up to us as human beings to set the record straight and keep it straight. On the matter of awareness, we're the ones that have to take responsibility for the teachings being offered and support each other in utilizing the teachings that are really thorough and pure. And we need that now more than ever. So many people are up for this, you know, they're totally up for this. They don't want to hear yet another vague talk awareness that never has any kind of direct instruction in it. And it's when a teaching does have is based on direct instruction, that is a totally unerring transmission and communication, then in that communication itself, a shift occurs. So people really don't have to do anything. You know, you might say, well, I'm resting with awareness, but I'm sure as all of you know, there's a shift that occurs that's beyond resting as awareness. And a lot of that comes from the power of the written and spoken communication. Because, you know, we're looking ourselves in the face, directly in the face, and saying, well, I can't wiggle out of this one and I don't want to. You know, so we just kind of hold still, not moving, and everything clicks into place within us, just like those old tumblers on a safe where they're listening with. Burglars listening, click, 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 click. And then finally the safe opens. Awareness knows all. Anything more about that?
I was just curious if you had any plan of doing any writing that's more about the body.
Well, I am talking about the body all the time. However, I'm talking about the body as the wisdom identity and its building blocks being space, light, and sound. And so you see, I don't talk about the body as an anatomical situation, because the anatomical situation of the body can never be corrected, so to speak, except from the vantage of awareness. If something goes wrong with the body, for example, we have some ways of dealing with some things these days, but they're often very painful or invasive or intrusive in some other way, and time-consuming. Extremely time-consuming. But you see, that's because we don't know anything about what the body is as long as we think it's DNA and that that's all it is. If we want to solve a lot of these problems about the suffering of humankind and cure aging and have the possibility of immortality, then, and these are serious questions being looked into by very serious scientists today, then we need to go beyond all the ideas we currently have about the body. It's really preposterous for the science of the body to be weighted down by things even as advanced as DNA, when it's clear to see that there's a lot more going on than that. We can't possibly understand those low-level aspects of the architecture of the body from the low level. They can only be understood from the high-level architecture of the body, which is pure intelligence. They can't be understood from the low level. It's just a lot of messing around. And so even though it may be more advanced than anything that's gone before, it doesn't mean that it's the icing on the cake. It means we can know a lot more. You know, and when I hear a scientist who is one of the foremost scientists in the world who is heading up a major initiative on a cure for aging with the possibility of immortality, and he's inviting everyone to come to his conference at the university where he teaches, and so he's inducing them to come by telling them all about the benefits at this place they'll be visiting, how nice it is in the summer, And then he said, and there's free alcohol 24 hours a day. Well, you know, that says to me, okay, well, that's great. Free alcohol 24 hours a day. That's fine. That's all well and good. But what does it say, really, about the level of scientific inquiry, no matter how advanced it is? When there's this this all-inclusive condition of the body that is so far beyond the need to get stoned or drunk, you know, I mean, things like that become a total non-issue. And when there's total comfort in one's own skin, they're just a non-issue. Somebody might have a drink once in a while. I never do. Just there's never any reason or pull or need or even thought. It just seems like something I'm not involved in at all. And so the whole fire and passion of the body and the whole kind of thing that people look for in alcohol and drugs is already present within us, and it's so far beyond getting drunk and stoned that that it's totally amazing. So to answer your question more specifically, I'm very, very interested in the body, but not in a conventional way. I'm not interested in replicating already existing modalities of dealing with the body. The interests I have in the body are outside the scope of what's occurring right now. I'm interested in seeing many people gain complete confidence and awareness, scientists and technologists who are looking at a lot of these issues about the body, and then from that perspective coming up with such innovative treatments for human beings and healthcare solutions that it would give us complete physical and mental well-being no matter who we are and no matter whether we were familiar with awareness or not. And see, today that's only possible to people who are familiar with awareness. And when actually it is within our power to give complete well-being to everyone, just like I said this morning, with food, shelter, clothing, healthcare, education, jobs, food, clean water. All those things that are completely missing for most of the world's people. 56% of the world's people live in Asia, and almost all of Asia has no clean water. And most Asian people don't have enough food to eat. Or if they do have food to eat, it isn't food that is really nourishing to their body. It doesn't have a nutritional impact. And so, you know, it's up to us. It really is. And that's what moves me. I'm not interested in all the old ideas at all. Not at all. Even the best ones have too much going on that's so outdated that it serves almost no one. But when we as human beings just go along with everything that's going on, thinking, you know, that we're meant to have a troubled emotional life and troubled mental states, and that we're meant to go in for all these treatments that are invasive, intrusive, and time-consuming, then we just believe that we are that. We really believe in those points of view, and we really believe that that's all we are. But when we have documented evidence, even in this room, of people who don't live like that and within themselves in a very natural way have found the power to be complete with everything that appears about their body or mind, then, you know, we have to ask, well, how can that be possible for everyone then? That's a natural question.